Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, saints. It's good to be in Winnipeg. I'm not from here. How many of you, just raise your hand, are not from Winnipeg? Who came the farthest so far?
Who came the farthest? Farthest.
Regina? Anyway. Okay, so this weekend we're going to be covering some messages that were given in the recent International Training for Elders and Responsible Ones held in Malaysia. And I realize among the brothers, some of us have already heard these messages. I was there in person. It was great. The jet lag was terrible. Food was good. But the fellowship was excellent. And the sharing from the brothers, very enlightening. There were 9 messages given. We'll be covering kind of 4 of them. We don't have that much time. So this afternoon, we're going to be covering message 1. I'm going to give the first part, and Brother Lyle will take over. So you all have an outline packet?
Yes.
Maybe we could read the title for message 1 together.
The blessedness of being poor in spirit and pure in heart, that we, Christ's heavenly ruler, as our new King, and that we may see God, to express Him in His life and represent Him with His authority.
So that's a long title. If we just unpack that, that would take an hour. So we're not going to do that. But the title for the whole training was Crucial Aspects of Matthew 5 through 7. Now Matthew, as you probably know, is considered the gospel of the kingdom. So among the 4 gospels, they all portray Christ in a different way. So Mark, we see him as not just a man, but a servant, a slave. We see his aspect, he came to serve. In Luke, we see his humanity. Jesus is God, but he's also man. He was a real man. So he has both aspects, divinity and humanity. In the Gospel of Mark, we see his divinity. But in the Gospel of Matthew, we see his kingship. He's the king. He's the king's savior. The Gospel of Matthew can be considered the gospel of the kingdom. And I don't know how much we've ever considered this, but really, when we look at the verses in the Bible, which is what we should do, in Matthew chapter 3, Matthew 3, verse 2, this is kind of the Lord's first word. This is John the Baptist. John the Baptist came announcing, the King, Jesus. And he says, repent. He doesn't say for the Savior has drawn near or for salvation has drawn near. He says, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near. If you look other places, Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in the whole inhabited earth, and then the end will come. He didn't say just the gospel. He said the gospel of the kingdom. We have the pattern the Lord gave us for prayer. Our Father, I know the old King James Version, but our Father who art in heaven, first thing, your name be sanctified. Second thing, He says, your kingdom come on earth. So God needs his kingdom on the earth. On the one hand, the kingdom of God is always there. God is always the king. God always has a realm from eternity to eternity. This is the kingdom of God. This is a kingdom of life. This is a kingdom of expression. When we are born anew, we enter into this kingdom. But in Matthew, there's a very particular phrase. It's only found in Matthew. It's called the kingdom of the heavens. The kingdom of the heavens is God's ruling in this age. You know, before the creation, this be considered eternity past. We always think of time very linear. So I cannot comprehend eternity. Everything's got to have a beginning. Everything's got to have an end. I was born on a certain day. Hopefully I won't go to be with the Lord until he comes. But anyway, that's the way we think of things, right? God is eternal. There's no beginning. But at some point, time began. So we live in time. In this time, there's something called the kingdom of the heavens. And this is, you could consider this kind of part of the kingdom of God. It's hard to define it. But the reality is that today we can live in the reality of the kingdom of the heavens or not. Now, every kingdom, every country has some rules and laws. So I'm not from Canada, in case you can't tell. I can almost speak Canadian, but not quite. I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So I flew here, and very nice, easy to get here. But I was checking in online, and, you know, to me, Canada and the United States, they're not exactly the same, but they're pretty similar. It's not like going to Russia or, you know, Malaysia. So I'm checking in online, and they say, scan your passport. Well, that's okay. And then it's download this app to enter Canada. It's like, I need an app to enter Canada? And they asked some, you know, they weren't very difficult questions, but answers questions. And when I got here, I thought I'd just breeze through, just show my passport. And this guy starts asking me questions. You know, how long will you be here? Well, that's okay. And what are you here for? And I don't want to make things complicated. I'm just visiting. Who are you visiting? I'm visiting Lyle Duick. How do you know him? We've been in some church conferences together. Is there going to be a church conference? Yeah. And are you going to be staying with him? No. Who are you going to be staying? And just give me the third degree. It's like, just let me in. I don't know if I was suspicious looking, but if I'd have given him a hard time, which I did not, he might have said, okay, turn around. Get back on the plane. Well, I'd have to get on a different plane because that one already landed. Go back. Because Canada is a sovereign nation, and they have their laws. As much as I like to think Americans, Canadians, we're just almost the same. We don't say A after sentences, but other than that, pretty similar. But there are rules, and I have to respect them. Every kingdom has rules. Amen. Every kingdom has some expression. The kingdom of the heavens has some rules. Matthew chapter 5 through 7 can be considered the constitution of the kingdom of the heavens. Now, I think Canada has a constitution, right? America, United States, we have a constitution. And that has saved us. And I would say these days it's saving us again, because if the elected officials try to do something against the constitution, which some try to do frequently, then someone will challenge that. And they take them to court, And the court says you cannot do that because it's against the Constitution. So God's kingdom has a constitution. And that's laid out in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. So if we are going to, well, not going to be, we are in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
When we believe in the Lord, we're born anew. Just like if you were born in Canada, you're a citizen of Canada. I was born in the United States. I was a citizen. I am a citizen of the United States. I don't have to do anything to do that. We believe in the Lord Jesus. We receive the Lord's life. Now we are members, part, constituents in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
But will we live in the reality of this kingdom? Eventually the Lord will return and he'll bring the kingdom openly to the earth. And there will be justice will reign. There will be righteousness. We just sang that song, when Christ comes to reign, it will be a great prize. He'll come back as the king. But a question is, will we be the ones ruling with him? Maybe we will, but it depends on how you live today. If you live under the king's ruling today, then you get to share in the kingdom when he returns. So this is an incentive to us. You might say, well, I don't care. I don't, if I rule. The alternative is really bad. You know, it says in Matthew a few places, if you're not doing good, we'll cover this later. It's like, okay, you did bad. Outer darkness for you. That's not just a dark place. It's a very unpleasant place. Since there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So let me ask you, would you rather be ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years or weeping and gnashing your teeth? And the weeping and gnashing of your teeth is regret because it's possible. Now, if you ask me to run a marathon, world record time, just forget about it. I mean, I can't even run a mile, so I can't run that far. That's just not going to happen. It's impossible. Can you, are you 10 feet tall? You need to be 10 feet tall, otherwise you're not going to. It's not happening. But if I say, Roy, can you write something on that? Just write a note. Not hard, right? And if I ask you to do it, and you say, oh, I can't do that. And then Roy does it, and I say, you get a reward, you get outer darkness. You're going to be, that's all I had to do is write a note? I could have done that. We have the capacity, we have the possibility, we have the Lord's life. We can live and reign in righteousness today. We can express Christ in his righteousness today. We can allow him to rule in us today. Or we don't. We cannot do that. A lot of it depends on our will. But we have an incentive. We have an incentive, and then we've got a negative incentive. It's like I can give you the reward, and or I can give you, I don't know exactly what outer darkness is going to be like. Never been there. But I do know in 1 Corinthians it says that our work will be tested with fire, and we'll be saved, yet as through fire. That doesn't sound pleasant to me. You'll get saved, but through fire. I kind of want to avoid that. So let's live in the reality of the kingdom today.
Amen.
So this message, I'm going to cover Roman numeral 1, which is one verse. Matthew 5:3. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. So these, there's these nine blessings that the Lord gave. Sometimes this is called the Beatitudes, things like that. But this is really reflects the living of the kingdom people. So what does it mean to be poor in spirit? Now, of course, we realize that as a human being, we have three parts. We've got a physical body, and we have a soul, Greek psuche. This is our psychological being. It's who you are. You know, your personality, yourself. Then we have a spirit. The spirit is a deeper part. The spirit has the function we can contact God. John chapter 4 says, you know, God is spirit. We must worship in spirit and truthfulness. So we need our spirit to contact God. We need our spirit to fellowship with God. And we have intuition in our spirit. That's like an ability to know things kind of not rational. I mean, to know God, we like things physical. What's your name?
Bronson.
Yeah, so I can know you, right? Pretty easy. He's right here in front of me. Do you know the Lord is here? How do you know he's here? I can't see him. I've never physically touched him. You know, like Tim's here. I could smell him. I don't know what he smells like. I could taste him. I'm not going to do that. We've got our physical senses. I can hear him. I got my hearing aids, so I can hear well. But God, physically, we can't apprehend him. We can look at creation. We can conclude there must be a God, and that's good. But to actually know God, converse with God, have fellowship with God, we need our spirit. So our spirit is critical for spiritual functions. But it says here we must be poor in spirit. That doesn't mean we have a poor, subpar, non-functioning spirit. It means our spirit is empty. Maybe some of you have been poor in your bank account. I remember one time we were going to go to the store, and we needed to get some groceries. We were at a church meeting. I was serving the Lord full time, and we're going to go to the store, and I told my wife, we've got enough money for milk and bread. That's all. So I was poor in my wallet. It didn't have much money for there. But the Lord took care of us.
Amen.
In a very good way. It's a very good story. I'm not going to tell it to you, though. So to be poor in spirit is not only to be humble, but also to be emptied in our spirit, in the depth of our being.
Amen.
Not holding on to the old things of the old dispensation, but unloaded to receive the new things,
Amen.
The things of the kingdom of the heavens. We need to be poor, emptied, unloaded in our human spirit that we may realize and possess the kingdom of the heavens.
Amen.
To be poor in spirit means that we are humble, acknowledging that we have nothing, know nothing, can do nothing, and are nothing. Now, how many of you have heard this before? You don't need to raise your hand. I've heard it all before. I've heard it many times. Sometimes when the brothers are sharing, I know what they're going to share next because I've heard it before. Sometimes the outlines, these are really marvelous outlines. Sometimes the outlines seem like at least parts of them are recycled. They've used them before. And so it's easy just to tune out. I've already learned this. I've heard this before. That's not to be poor in spirit. That means your spirit is full of things. They're not bad things, but they're old things. Even your experience of the Lord, maybe month and a half ago, you were praying, and the Lord was just so sweet and rich, and you really had a wonderful experience. Or you're praying, and the Lord really met your need. And these are great experiences, but I hold on to it. Well, I'm not saying you should throw it away, but, you know, maybe, how long ago did you get saved? How long ago? A while. Yeah. How long?
Maybe 45 years. 40?
You're that old? Wow. 45.
I think I have it written down as
80. Oh, yeah, okay. But you might have had a dynamic salvation experience. Maybe not. But let's say you did, and just like changed your life. And it's wonderful, right? But then that's your only experience of the Lord. And you tell people, yeah, 45 years ago, I just had this great experience. And it's like, that was 45 years ago. You've had nothing since then? Well, it's so good, I'm just holding on to it. That means that thing is just occupying your spirit. The Lord is very, I don't know if this is a word, experienceable. We can experience the Lord, know the Lord, contact the Lord in so many ways. But if our spirit is full, we're holding on to all the old things, even the good things. This is my point. Even the good experiences, we need to be unloaded. So I don't say this for my benefit, but if you've heard things before that we might be sharing, just unload.
Right.
Lord, I need you. One thing, the Lord is always new.
Amen.
Even if you've heard it before, it's still new.
Amen.
So don't come full of things you know. We need, you know, we sang that song, God's kingdom today is a real exercise. This is an exercise. This is an exercise of your spirit. Even to shake off the tiredness. I know if you drove some distance, I know what it's like. You get in, you're kind of, we got to exercise. Even don't hold on to your tiredness. Don't hold on to, I deserve to be tired. You do. You drove a long way. I feel sorry for you. But we need to exercise.
Amen.
Those who are poor in spirit have a willing spirit for the things of the Lord and the things of the church. Sometimes we know things positively because we see the negative. Right? Are you healthy? Physically? Yeah. I mean, just seems like, I don't know. But if you've got a fever, you know you're not healthy. If there's something wrong, you know you're not healthy. So if someone's presenting something, you know, to our spirit, some spiritual things, something of the Lord, something of the church, and you see there's resistance in you, it's like, oh, that means you've got something wrong with your spirit. We need to have a willing spirit.
Amen.
Those who are poor in spirit, this is really good. You want to experience the spirit of joy, spirit of wisdom and understanding, spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of Jehovah. If you're poor in spirit, you can experience these things.
Amen.
These are all things from the Bible.
Amen.
All spiritual progress depends on man's hunger.
Amen.
You know, this is a spiritual hunger. We can be hungry for knowledge. You know, even the Bible. We should know the Bible. We should study the Bible. We should know all the things in the Bible. But we need to have a spiritual hunger.
Right. Amen.
I've shared this story before. Maybe you've heard it before. I really like it. Because I was there. As a brother, Howard Higashi, he passed away more than 25 years ago now. But I was having lunch with him and a few other brothers, young brothers. I was young once. And he asked us a question to provoke some fellowship. And he said, when you're sick, physically sick, should you eat more or should you eat less? You know, there's this old wives' tale, and I don't remember which way it goes, but it's like, starve a cold, feed a fever, feed a cold, starve, something like that. So when you've got a cold, you eat. When you've got a fever, you don't, something like that. That's an old wives' tale. So he asked, let me ask you, when you're sick, should you eat more or less? You'd eat more, right? Do you feel like eating?
No.
But you got to eat more, but you don't feel like eating. So what do you do? So he said, he related that to his spiritual experience. He said sometimes he loses his appetite for the word. the Word of God. You know, the Word is our food. The Word shouldn't be taken just as knowledge. We need to take it in as our spiritual food. And he said sometimes he realizes, I just have no appetite for the Word. So he doesn't feel like eating. Then he says, then I realize I'm sick spiritually. So his solution, you know what his solution was? Pretty wise. He said, I eat more. I force feed myself the Word. So like just even when you're sick physically and you need to eat, you have to force yourself to eat because you don't feel like eating. He said he would do that until his appetite returned. He said then he knew he was healthy.
Amen.
So we spiritually, we should have a hunger.
Amen.
We should always have a hunger for the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is always new. If you've read, how you know, you may have read the Bible through 100 times. You may have read certain verses, you know, dozens and dozens of times. That verse, you might say, I know that verse, but that verse is still always new. Because the Spirit is in that verse. And the Spirit is the essence of God. God is always new. So I can take the same verse. I could pray read the same verse over and over again. And it won't get old.
Amen.
I'm almost done, Lyle. we should be afraid of self-contentment. I mean, do you have a fear of that? Self-satisfaction, satisfaction with the things of the past. Spiritual stagnation is the result of indifference to one's own spiritual lack. All failure and decadence are the result of self-complacency. Past victory can never be our present strength. You may have had some past victories. I hope you do. But that doesn't translate to present victory. It's all in the past. You need an up-to-date, day-by-day victory. Christ is always victor. I'm going to skip the sub-points there. Well, I want to read point C. We should remember that God gives difficulties to us in order to dig more deeply in us so that he can fill us more with himself.
Amen.
So you ever have difficulties?
Yes.
Today? In the past hour? Continually? I'm kind of worried for me because things have been going too well. I've been traveling all over. I haven't even gotten sick. I'm just waiting. Those aren't because God hates me, but we'll go through trials. We'll go through difficulties. That will force us to turn back to the Lord.
Yeah.
It will force us to dig more deeply, and the Lord will have more room for himself in us. I'm going to skip down to E. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child shall by no means enter into it. That doesn't mean we need to be childish. But, you know, a little child not filled and occupied by old concepts can easily receive a new thought.
Amen.
People need to be like little children and with an unoccupied heart receive the kingdom of God as a new thing. You all know little children, right? You got some little children. It's just easy for them to receive something because they're not all filled up with things. We adults, we're just filled up with everything. And it's hard to receive something. Hard to receive something new. Hard to receive something against our concept. So we need to be open. We need to be emptied in our spirit. We need to be poor in spirit. So now I'm going to give it over to Lyle. He's going to talk about being pure in heart.
Amen. Amen. Should we stretch a little bit? Get up and, I don't know, say, Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
A few times.
Amen.
I think we'd be good. Wake up.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord Jesus, we love you. Amen. 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 I would have been quite okay just to stay there and keep listening. I was enjoying the speaking. Just kind of a, feels like we're kind of just having a family time, mm-hmm. a family talk. So, and don't worry about the outline. We're not going to try to cover everything. The main burden is on Roman numeral 1, 2, and then 4. So my task or assignment is to try to cover those two, Roman numeral 2. So these two actually go together, being poor in spirit and pure in heart. they're like a pair. You can't separate them. As a brother already pointed out, we don't have a poor spirit, but we need to be poor in spirit. There's a big difference. Our spirit is actually, if you look at some of the verses in the Bible, excepting Timothy 1:7, we do not have a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power and of love and of sober-mindedness. So our spirit is powerful. So we're not miserable, like poor miserable in that way. But we should be emptied of everything else so that we can receive the things concerning the kingdom. And we should be like little children, as that last point said. Little children are simple. They can receive something new. One thing I notice at work is it's a lot easier to, unfortunately, a lot easier to, and I know I'm getting older, so maybe others will say this about me, but I enjoy working with younger ones sometimes because they're so easy to learn. Recently, had quite a major redesign on one of the machines, and one of our older workers, this has happened twice recently. They actually come and complain about the design change because we've always done it this way. Why change it? So that's an example of being filled. I think especially with age, this is a problem we have. We tend to get occupied, set, settled, and occupied. But we want to stay fresh, amen. Young, and living. Amen. Amen. So we need to be poor in spirit. So Roman numeral 2 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. When we see God, we actually receive God. So in order to receive God into us, we need to have a pure heart. I'm going to read some of these verses as we're going through. I'm just going to open my... I don't trust technology, but it's good for some things. And recently in a conference in Odessa, my recovery version just stopped working altogether. I had no recovery version because I didn't bring my physical one. So I had to use the King James, which is, you know, that's what I grew up with. But anyway, let's hope this doesn't freeze. So Matthew 5:8, of course, is the key verse. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's the Roman numeral. And then there's under A, to have a pure heart means that our heart is single, seeing nothing but the Lord himself, so that Christ may grow in us without frustration. So the Lord wants to grow in us, and we want the Lord to grow in us. But this is actually maybe the main burden of this Roman numerals, these verses in Matthew 13, about the four conditions of the heart, three being negative and one positive. So we have a desire to grow. I think everyone here has a desire to grow. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be here. But this is very helpful. And I enjoyed how the Lord, when he spoke this parable, many parables he didn't explain. But this one, the Lord himself explained the parable. So it's really good. I'm just going to read and some of the excerpts I have here regarding those verses. The human heart is the soil for the seed by the slave Savior. Matthew 4:14 says, okay, sorry, Mark 4:14, so this is taken from Mark here, very similar. The sower sows the word. Okay, actually, that's a separate verse here. The sower sows the word. So the Lord himself is the sower and the seed. Okay, then let me skip down to this verse 15. These are the ones beside the way where the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. So beside the way is the place close to the way. It is hardened by the traffic of the way, and it is difficult for seeds to penetrate. This typifies a preoccupied heart, hardened by worldly traffic, not open to understand, to comprehend the word of the kingdom. The soil should not be preoccupied by anything and must be absolutely open for the seed of life. But the wayside has been trodden too much by worldly traffic. So what is worldly traffic? Well, it could be anything. It could be this. It's a lot of worldly traffic, this device. One item mentioned here is you may want a new car, so you're distracted. It could be anything, right? The worldly traffic. And the second kind of heart is the rocky places. Likewise, there are the ones being sown on the rocky places who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. Yet they have no root in themselves but last only for a time. But when affliction and persecution occurs because of the word, immediately they are stumbled. So the rocky places do not have much earth. This signifies a stony heart. There is some good ground for the seed, but this ground is too shallow. Underneath this ground are rocks. It is rather hard for the seed to root deeply into a stony heart. So these are ones that receive the word, but they receive it superficially. So may the Lord have mercy on us that to dig away all these rocks, Amen. These hidden rocks within us, so the word can grow. And then the third condition is the thorns. This is actually a big one. Others are the ones being sown into the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, and the anxieties of the age and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts for other things enter in and utterly choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Our lust for other things can choke the word. We may not think that the anxieties of the age or the deceitfulness of riches trouble you, but what about the lust for other things? Anyway, there's some things mentioned here. So this is an age filled with anxieties and deceitfulness of riches. I've been actually wanting to buy a vehicle for some time. I've never owned a vehicle as long as I have the van. I think it's for 13 years now, almost 13 years. And, you know, I used to go through almost every year, every other year, get another car. But I'm always tempted, oh, I just want this luxury car. Maybe it's a Lexus or something really nice. But then I just always am thankful when I'm okay to settle back to just driving my simple van. Because if I bought the Lexus, you know how much they are now. It's shocking. This would then restrict me for who know how many years, maybe 10 years. And maybe I will still buy one. I don't know. Maybe the Lord will allow me. But the point is, all these things they just choke us. You know, the deceitfulness of riches. Whether we have riches or whether we just seek for riches, this is something that can choke us. And then the fourth condition, of course, is the good earth. Amen. These are the ones sown in the good earth. Those who hear the word and receive it and bear fruit. Right. 130-fold and 160-fold and 100-fold. Amen. So let us be the ones who have the good earth. Amen. So the word can grow in us. Amen. Amen. Okay, back to the outline. Point C, if we have a pure heart, if we are pure in heart in seeking God, our reward is that we will see God.
Amen.
See, in God's appearing to him, Job saw God. Job saw God, gaining God in his personal experience and abhorring himself. Job 42, 6 and 7 say, "And I had heard of you of the hearing of my ear, but now my eye has seen you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." So this is a result of seeing God. Amen. Point D, today our God is the all-inclusive spirit.
Amen.
As the consummation of the process triune God. And the God whom we look at today is the consummated spirit. And we can look at him in our spirit.
Amen.
Amen. For 2 Corinthians 2:10, "But whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For also what I have forgiven, if I had forgiven anything." And this is the point. It is for your sake in the person of Christ. And then 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "The Lord be with your spirit, grace be with you." So grace is just personified. It's the spirit with us and grace with us. And then this verse here speaks about the person of Christ. So we need to behold this person, looking into his eyes, into his face. Point E, we see God so that we may be constituted with God. Seeing God transforms us, and seeing a God equals gaining God so that we may become God in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead. In 2 Corinthians 3, we have two whenevers. I really enjoyed this recently. We don't want to be the first whenever. So verse 15 says, "Indeed, unto this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart." So it says, whenever. Whenever Moses is read, a veil lies on our heart. It's almost like it's something spontaneous, right? No action required. How about this? And the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Amen.
Oh, sorry, I missed the verse. But whenever their heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away.
Amen.
So we should not be the first whenever. We need to be the second whenever.
Amen.
Oh, whenever.
Amen.
Anywhere we are, our heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away.
Amen.
So the veil is just our unturned heart. Amen. Actually, Revelation 22:4 is listed here. The verse says something, I've written part of it down, "And they will see his face," having his name, I think his name written on their foreheads is the second part of the verse. So we really need to have a turned heart. An unveiled heart so we can see the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Actually, our heart is our face, if you read these verses carefully. So we need to be facing the Lord and have our heart open to him.
Amen.
Point F, the more we see God and love God, the more we deny ourselves and abhor ourselves. These are the same verses I just read in Job 22. And then there's Isaiah 6:5. "When I said, 'Woe is me,' oh, then I said, 'Woe is me, for I am finished. I am a man of unclean lips. And in the midst of the people of unclean lips I dwell. Yet my eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts.'" Amen. So we see how important it is to see God.
Amen.
We need to have our eyes, or a pure heart, have our heart unveiled so that we can see God.
Amen.
Point G, if we see the Lord, we will see that the things and the objects of this world are trash.
Right.
Wow. If you lived in the UK, I think you'd say rubbish. Rubbish? Anyway, trash. Things of this world are trash. H says, spiritual progress is the increase of the element of God in us and the decrease of the things within us that usurp God's place. Actually, for point G, I wrote down hymn number 645. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So we need to turn our eyes away from these things around us, the trash. Amen. Now, from the world, and then the worldly things are only trash to us. Amen. I already read H, right? John, I wrote down another verse here. John 3:30 says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Amen. So we need to have the element of God increased within us. I think I have that verse here. 1 Timothy 4. Okay, I don't have that one. Amen. Let's go on to I. As long as there is one thing, one event, or one person that takes possession of us, there is something in our heart usurping the place of God. An idol is anything within us that we love more than the Lord and that replaces the Lord in our life. This is a very good definition of an idol. Anything that we love more than the Lord and anything that replaces the Lord in our life. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance. So we need to keep our heart. Keep our heart open. Keep our heart turned to the Lord. Another hymn I marked down here is hymn 437. How does the chorus go? 'Tis that look that melted Peter, face that Stephen saw. It talks about idols again and again in this verse. Captivated by his beauty. Worthy tribute haste to bring. Someone know there? Let his peerless worth constrain me. Crown him now, unrivaled king. Unrivaled king. So all these things should not rival this king, should not rival the Lord in us.
Amen.
Amen. Point J, we must be pure. Our heart should not be occupied with anything other than God. These are, again, the verses from Matthew 13 of the conditions of the heart. Point K and L, I really like these, I was touched by these. Our spiritual progress depends on the degree to which our heart is turned toward God.
Amen.
Amen. It seems so simple, right? Just a simple turn to God. But maybe it's not so simple. We need our heart purified, cleaned, emptied, so that we can see God. So this, our spiritual progress depends on this. This is like a repentance. In Matthew 4:17, it says, repent for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near. So we need to repent for the kingdom. We need to turn. And point L, the more a person is in the Word of God, the purer he becomes. Amen. Oh, the more we are in the Word of God, the purer we become.
Amen.
Psalm 12, verse 6, the words of Jehovah are pure, silver refined in a furnace on the earth, purified seven times. Wow, I like that. And then Psalm 119, 140, your word is very pure and your servant loves it.
Amen.
Amen. So the word is pure. John 17:17, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank the Lord for this pure word.
Amen.
We can be purified so we can be prepared to live in the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. So in this, regarding the kingdom, there's the appearance of the kingdom, the reality of the kingdom, and the manifestation of the kingdom. We do not just want to be in an outward kind of appearance of the kingdom. We can even be outwardly righteous and have our own righteousness, so forth. But we need to live in the reality of the kingdom.
Amen.
And the reality comes forth from within us.
Amen.
The sower went forth to sow a seed.
Amen.
That is the kingdom seed.
Amen.
So this seed needs to grow and develop within us.
Amen.
And for this to happen, we need to deal with our heart.
Amen.
I just see more and more as we're touching these things that how important our heart is. Actually, it's the gateway of life.
Amen.
Our heart.
Amen.
Amen. Actually, there was a few excerpts here I wanted to just read a little bit regarding the heart and the spirit. If we are going to have the Lord as a seed of life grow within us to be our full enjoyment, we have to deal with our heart. We have to ask the Lord to be merciful to us. By His mercy, we have to deal with all these negative things in our heart.
Amen.
We have to deal with the things preoccupying us, the hidden rocks, the anxieties of the age, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. Then our heart will be good, right, proper, released,
Amen.
Prepared for Christ as a seed of life to grow within us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The heart is the gateway, the entrance, and the exit of the spirit. I'm reading here. When the heart is closed, the spirit is imprisoned. When the heart is open, the spirit is released. When I heard this kind of sharing that our heart is the gateway of life, I thought, well, wait a minute, isn't the spirit the gateway of life? Well, to me, this has really become precious to see that how important the heart is. It's the according to, I don't know where that verse is in the Bible, talks about the innermost part of the innermost being. I always like that verse. So the spirit is, so all our inner being is our soul. It's our inner being. But the heart, or the spirit, is the innermost part. So to get to the innermost part, you have to pass through the heart. And so this is why it's the gateway of life. Actually, the spirit is the receiving organ and the only organ to contact God, to touch God. So we don't touch God directly with our heart. We touch God in our spirit, but if there's something in between, then we cannot touch God. So this is why it is important that we deal with this gateway of life. Actually, does this work? Maybe it's just good. You've probably seen this when you were in children's class. I don't know when they start showing you the three circles, but this never gets old. Have you seen this before?
It's new.
Amen. Are you willing to be emptied?
Amen.
Amen. So we have the spirit. So, well, maybe I'll just do this. Spirit. And don't be bothered by my left hand. I know it looks funny, but soul and body. So man is made of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. This is the innermost part of the innermost being. And then all these three are divided into, these two are divided into three. I'm not sure what's the best way to do that. Continue that line. Okay. I'll do that so it's not confusing. Okay. So we have our mind, I'll just do mind, emotion, and will. I don't know, my handwriting is really nice on paper, but on the board it's just terrible. Mind, emotion, and will. Those are the parts of our soul. And there's enough Bible verses to prove that. We just don't have the time. It's actually written out quite well here. And then our spirit, we may not be as familiar with. We have a conscience. And we have the fellowship, and the intuition. So the conscience is, so this These three parts of the soul and the conscience consist of our heart. So that, I wanted to draw that just to make to emphasize that the heart is the gateway of life. So actually all the life comes through, you could say, this little part here. Well, okay. It comes to through our fellowship with the Lord and through our intuition, our direct feeling from the Lord, but everything depends on the conscience. So we can't just strictly stick with the diagram because you need all three to receive God. But the conscience is the part that's part of the heart and also part of the spirit. So the heart and the spirit are very closely related, but they're different. So we need to have a clear heart, a clear conscience, so that the Lord can come into us, can become life to us. This is why we can see that this is the gateway of life. If that is closed, our mind, emotion, will, and conscience is a problem, then we cannot receive this life. Amen.
Amen.
And then eventually, when we get a new body, our body will also be... So first, the life needs to come in through into our spirit, through our conscience, through our heart, and then it needs to spread out into our mind, emotion, will, and eventually the redemption of our body. Even our body will be saturated with this divine life.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, that's a very quick going through of that, and I'm running out of time. Besides dealing with the Lord to be pure in heart, we need to go on even deeper to those to be those who are poor in spirit. It may be that our spirit is not empty. Okay, it may be that our spirit is not empty for something more of the Lord to be deposited into us. Okay, this kind of brings it together, and I don't have the time to read all this. I'll skip down here. The heart acts in cooperation with the spirit. But the spirit is the organ for us to directly receive and contact the Lord.
Amen.
If we are going to contact the Lord, we must exercise our spirit.
Amen.
If we are going to serve the Lord, we must exercise our spirit.
Amen.
If we are going to receive the Lord, to take the Lord in, we must exercise our spirit.
Amen.
But the exercise of our spirit depends on the condition of our heart. That's what touched me. If the condition of our heart is wrong, it is hard for us to exercise our spirit. So, we may all be for exercising the spirit. We like to exercise our spirit, but we need to deal with our heart. I think that's the main burden here in this section. And I'm... We'll mainly just read Roman numeral 4, not because it's not important, but we just simply don't have time. So let's just skip over to Roman numeral 4. In order to maintain the newness of our heart and our spirit, we need to be renewed day by day.
Amen.
With a fresh supply of the resurrection life to become as new as the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
So maybe this last Roman numeral is somewhat, maybe we could be a little discouraged. We realize we have so much problems with our heart, but praise the Lord for Roman numeral 4.
Yeah.
Gives us the way.
Yeah.
Newness is God. The believers should be renewed to be as new as the new Jerusalem, since they are all becoming the new Jerusalem by walking in newness of life and building the new Jerusalem by serving in newness of spirit.
Amen.
Point B, while we are in the midst of suffering, we need to receive the renewing. Otherwise, the suffering that we pass through means nothing to us. Within us, there is a refuge, our spirit.
Amen.
Just a little bit from the Holy Word for Morning Revival, today's day, if you read it. Instead of being frustrations, the tribulations are the way that usher us into the kingdom.
Amen.
Today we are on the way to enter into the kingdom of God as our destination. The more we go on, the more the kingdom of God is developed within us. The kingdom of God, in the sense of life, is actually Christ himself, as the seed of life sown into his believers, God's chosen people, and developed into a realm in which God may rule as his kingdom, in his divine life. Its entrance is regeneration, and its development is the believer's growth in the divine life. It is the church life today in which the faithful believers live, and it will develop into the coming kingdom as an inheritance reward to the overcoming believers in the millennium. Okay, I'll stop there. Brother James, in the spring conference, he touched on something that just stuck with me. We were also covering somewhat along the same line, the matter of the kingdom. And he was sharing the message on righteousness. How, actually, righteousness, it was just from such a good speaking on righteousness. The two sides of righteousness, objective and subjective. Anyway, he made a comment in that message that, you know, we go through at God, he prepared everything. He saved us. The righteous died on behalf of the unrighteous. So we're now clothed with the garment of righteousness. And we have the blood whenever we sin. And we have the lamb. I'm not sure if he shared all this, but he said, so we have everything prepared individually, but then what does the Lord do? He puts us into the church life, into the kingdom. So we shouldn't just be happy for that day 45 years ago when we first initially received the Lord, which is wonderful, but the Lord wanted to put us into the church life. Actually, he shared, when we first come into the church life, we say, happy church life, you know, it's a happy place. And then things start happening. And maybe we feel some thorns and we can't get along with those around us. But actually, the Lord is just training us to live the kingdom life.
Amen.
If we can't pass the test now, we can't be in the manifestation of the kingdom. So let us let the Lord have his way in us.
Amen.
To grow in us. And this, actually, I'll just keep reading here. Point C, in order to be renewed day by day, we need to be revived every morning.
Amen.
Amen. Every other morning? No, every morning. Amen. D, we need to come to the Lord's table in eunice. Matthew 26:29, where the Lord says, I shall by no means drink of this till I drink anew in the kingdom. I'm paraphrasing. We can be renewed by learning to say, amen, hallelujah. That's what I'd like to put in there. Amen, hallelujah. This is not so easy. Oh, very hard for me. I'm sorry, forgive me. I don't even know how this made it into the outline. I told the brothers I knew Brother Ed wrote this when I read that, because he says this so many times in his speaking. These two words, I'm sorry, forgive me. Wow. It's almost like that's such a key thing for us to be able to enter into the kingdom. Amen. And we can be renewed by doing this. And point E continues, we are renewed day by day through four items. The cross, the Holy Spirit, by which we are reconditioned, remade, and remodeled with the divine life, our mingled spirit, and the holy word of God. So we have the cross, the spirit, our spirit, and the word of God.
Amen.
How about brothers, read point F.
Our mingled spirit needs to spread into our mind in order to subdue, take over, and occupy our mind, thus becoming the spirit of our mind. The more the mingled spirit penetrates,
amen. Okay, sisters, G.
We should not live according to the vanity of the mind, but according to the spirit of the mind. This is the key to the daily living,
amen,
of the corporate one new man. The secret to having a church life filled with the character of God, the aroma of Christ, and the oneness of the spirit.
Amen. We have the secret. We have the way.
Amen.
the key. Amen. I enjoyed all those words. And then H, our loving the Lord and our exercising our spirit in prayer and in reading the word day by day.
Amen.
Change and renew our mind.
Amen.
As the brother shared earlier, we need to force ourselves sometimes to eat the word. This is to get rid of all the old concepts concerning the things of the human life and be made new again by the teaching of the Holy Scriptures and the enlightening of the Holy Spirit. So praise the Lord for the Word.
Amen.
Oh, we have the Spirit. We have the Word.
Amen.
Let's read Roman numeral 5 also. It's actually very much along the same line. The Lord's recovery depends on our renewed, purified heart. And our renewed, strengthened spirit,
when our heart
is fully possessed by the
Christ, and our spirit is habitually exercised to touch the Lord,
God will have a way, and the recovery will be prevailing. Let's just read these A, B as well. This consummates God's intention. Amen. God's goal is to have the new man,
which
ultimately will consummate New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, just a few minutes in conclusion. I think that was it. Everyone's turning the page. Yeah. I always really enjoy and then strengthened and comforted by that verse in Matthew 5, which verse is it? You shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Amen.
So we have the capacity.
Amen.
It's like the brother shared earlier. No, Bronson can't be 10 feet tall, but he can write a note. Well, God is not asking us to do something that we can't do. Well, in a way, we can't, but... But he has installed his life within us. So we have the Father's life and nature so that we can become perfect. Actually, that's the only way. In this section here, this was new light to me. I think one of the brothers spoke it in the training, that how many times the Father was mentioned. Every time I see this, and when I'm reading the Bible now, when I see the word Father, what I see is my Father, I'm His Son, I have His life and nature.
Amen.
So whatever He says, He will do, and He can do, and He will not require of us something that we can't do. I'm assured of this. Amen. So let's stay in the church life,
Amen.
In the kingdom, in this realm. Allow the Lord to touch our hearts, purify our hearts, that we can grow.
Amen.
The kingdom is a matter of growth, so that we can be qualified to be the kings in the millennial kingdom in the manifestation.
Amen.
But the time we're in is so crucial.
Amen.
So crucial that we would remain those who are poor in spirit and pure in heart.
Amen.
So that the Lord can have a way in us. I don't think this is too high. Do you agree, brothers, in the second row?
Amen.
It's attainable, right?
Right,
Braden? Yeah. You have the Father's life.
Amen.
We just stay open to Him.
Amen.
Let Him work within us.
Amen.
Renew us day by day.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Okay.